Welcome to Whispers of Winter, a Game of Thrones podcast in which we break down and talk about what happened in this week's episode of Game of Thrones.
Mostly.
So I'm the host and I'm Russell, and joining me as is Mitchell.
How's is the Fury? Hi.
So last week we didn't get to talk about episode 3 as I was off doing other things. Just a quick overview of the kind of three main things that happened.
Yep. And episode 3, the Queen's Justice.
Yeah. So for episode 3, Queen's Justice. So finally we had the long awaited meeting of Jon and Daenerys at Dragonstone.
Yes, they had a lovely little meeting. did they?
So ultimately there was, I don't know if you'd say force, like it didn't actually feel like force conflict. It was just that because they haven't met, they hadn't met each other. So Jon's opinion of Daenerys was kind of like a entitled queen who felt that she should rule over this kingdom, that she had no right to, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I guess Daenerys thought Jon was more just like a some kind of warrior in the north who just like laid siege and claimed.
Makes up storage.
Yeah.
Stories. He's like, oh, there's White Walkers and stuff. Ha ha, they're out there. I saw them. Believe me.
But you can already see like in the series, like, well, there is some tension there, but it feels more like tension that's just going to slowly disappear as the episodes go on.
Yep. And it may have already.
yeah, pretty much from this week's episode. But regardless, it was a cool scene.
Yeah, it was good to finally see them together. And especially, like, the scene I like was when the dragons flew over and Jon and, yeah, they both dived. Yeah.
It's just interesting now because the episodes are pacing so fast. Just seeing all these characters, these main characters meet up so quickly now.
Yeah, we're not wasting any time with this. Everyone's meeting everyone real fast.
Really fast, yeah.
People who met there... Something. Someone sooner than they would have liked.
So, Euron, in the episode 2, got the gift that he promised, and that was Alaria Sand and her daughter.
The last Sand Snakes.
Yeah, the last, yeah. In fact, at this point, you can almost say the last Martells. I don't know how many Martells at least shown are left in the show. Like, none, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess they are the last Martells, but...
It's not clear whether...
Really, the line's broken, kind of, because...
Yeah.
Both.
In terms of
they're both dead.
In terms of the show, all the Martells are gone with this episode, or episode 3. But there probably is other Martells in existence somewhere in Dorne. They just won't probably feature in the season going forward.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough time to bring this whole new Dorne thing back.
Yeah, so ultimately, Cersei decided to poison her daughter in front of her.
the same way certain someone did to hers.
The same way Nalaria did to hers. And... Essentially, Alaria is going to be chained up and watch her daughter slowly decay over time.
Well, Alaria starves to death.
Yeah, until... Well, no, not starve to death, because she said she'd keep feeding her, or force feeding her.
Oh, yeah, true. Just until...
So, it's until she just dies of whatever condition she would die of.
Whatever
just
it is,
down.
Yeah.
Could be a very long time. It almost reminds me of...
A very long time.
Of Edmir Tully, where it's like, oh, there's another person in a changed dungeon forever now.
Yeah, he's kind of left down there to rot forever.
but particularly a sick way for this character to get killed.
Pretty much, yeah.
But
we expected this as much from Cersei.
Yeah. It's sicker than
it's
what you'd
worse.
Think. Like, I was assuming what she almost says it. Like, oh, I assumed she was probably just going to the mountain to like smash her head in or something.
Crush his skull like Oberyn's.
Yeah, which made sense. But yeah, that's not how she wanted. Too quick.
No, too quick.
Yeah. And then the big...
Speaking of too quick.
Yeah, well, the big turn at the end of the episode was Daenerys, or with Tyrion's aid, assumes that Castle Rock is going to be a great triumph
Cakewalk.
Of a victory. Exactly.
Easy.
And ultimately, it was easy for them to accomplish it, but...
it's a trap!
Yeah, too easy. So...
too easy.
Jaime, having learned from his previous defeat from Robb Stark in season 1, I think it was...
Or was it 2? No, it was 1.
Yeah, I think it...
It's been so long.
I don't know. I can't remember. Probably 1 or 2. I can't... It's one of those seasons.
Yeah, it's early.
Essentially, creates a decoy by sending some of his men to one location to take... No, it's season 1.
Yeah, it sounds all right.
Yeah, to take on Tywin's men, and then his bulk of the force takes on Jaime's forces. And Jaime also does the exact same thing. He has a little garrison at Castle Rock. and takes all the rest of the men to Highgarden to quite literally wipe out entire Highgarden family.
Yep. So they've gone out to the Tyrells or a dead house.
Yeah, their house is gone. They've killed all of them.
Literally.
But
in the last scene of that episode, though.
Yeah, so Alena, of course, has to have the last word in the episode. And
as always.
Jamie, who's slightly less sick than... I'd say Jamie's definitely, like, they're showing how he's mostly a good character now.
I'd say he's probably the... I mean, he's doing what needs to be done.
Yeah. He understands what he needs to do to save his house. He's not going to do it in, like, a sadistic way like Cersei's willing to do. So, essentially, he poisons Alena, but with a non-damaging poison, I guess.
A nice poison.
A gentle poison.
Is there a thing?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. As Alena basically drinks it all up and then basically spits it back in his face and says, I wouldn't want to die like your son Joffrey, as how violently he died with like the purple face and unable to breathe and scratching at his throat, and essentially tells him, I did it. I poisoned.
I want Joffrey. Cersei to know.
I want Cersei to know.
It was me. That's exactly what she says.
Jaime has a chance if he wants to kill her there or do it in a more violent way, but no, he just kind of accepts it and walks out of the room.
Yeah, no point. She was already dead.
Which connects us into this week's episode, which was titled The Spoils of War.
The Spoils of War.
So it opens up with Jaime now basically showing all the Highgarden money, all the gold they have. Which...
Is that the first scene?
I believe it is how they open up. So they've got all... They show all the gold, they give some money to Bronn. Bronn's essentially saying... I should be entitled to more than just a bit of gold. I need a castle. And I should be entitled to Highgarden as that castle. But I guess Jaime just kind of talks him out of it and goes, look,
Jaime's like, yeah, that's the first one you'll lose. We'll lose.
Yeah, that one's going to lose very quickly because that's the one Daenerys is going to come for. We've got the gold, though. That's going to the Iron Bank of Braavos.
We've got all the shit. Because the Lannisters always pay it.
Yeah, and then even when they show the Iron Bank, he's already like, I'm surprised by it. They're able to pay off the whole debt instantly. Like, it's like, that's never happened before.
That's some good banking.
And with the good bank, he's already like, oh, do you want to take out more money with us or more forces? Which...
Yeah, that's...
It seems
classic
like...
Classic banks.
Yeah, it seems possible that might happen. So, because Cersei wants more army. So, I think the Iron Bank were promising some kind of army. So, she might take them up on that offer.
Mercenary soldiers like the Unsullied.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, I think that operation's been kind of shut down. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's Unsullied, but it is a mercenary group of some kind. It might be similar to...
Yeah, it'll...
What was his... Dario?
Dario Naharis.
Yeah, Dario's exactly. Similar to that, like the...
And whatever his little mercenary band was. I mean, it could be his band.
I think he killed them all, didn't he? I killed the leaders of the band.
He did kill... Well, he became the leader of it.
Yeah. I'm not sure. But ultimately, a group like him, I think, is what they have.
Yeah. They would do.
But cutting from that to the end of the episode...
The follow-up sequence.
Yeah. Things don't work out. So they do get the money. They have the explosive scene where Tali kind of rides up and says, "Well, the money got through. We're just getting processing
all the money."
Yeah, they've got the money in King's Landing. Now we're just gathering all the grain to bring it with us, kind of stuff. And then suddenly a storm approaches, as it was shaking the ground, and the Dothraki screaming rides into you. And initially,
they're
you're
finally
like,
on Westeros.
Yeah, and it's like initially you're like, well, this is going to be probably one hell of a tough fight for the Lannister men to take on. And then Daenerys on Drogon shows up above them.
Yep, she's here to fuck shit up.
Yeah. Jaime and Bronn are already very concerned at this point.
I would be.
Now, I don't know what happened to Lord Tarly, because he just kind of disappears in this scene.
He kind of just... Did he ride away? He would have still been in sight of the dragon flying around in the sky.
I think you could definitely take he doesn't get killed, otherwise they would have shown it. Might just be next episode, he's just one of the captured people or something.
Yeah, he might be captured, or he's the one to say, we've been attacked.
Oh, yeah, so he's off somewhere else to inform them, yeah. But essentially, this battle scene was probably the best dragon battle scene we've seen so far.
It was the most tense battle I think I've seen in this show. I mean, Battle of the Bastards was pretty tense, but this one you had both sides where you didn't want anything to happen to Daenerys, and yet you don't want anything to happen to Jaime or Bronn.
Yeah, that was the thing. I was in this end of the episode.
All the dragon.
I think it was about a 15-minute fight, but I was like, oh, Bronn's going to die here. This is the end of Bronn, for sure.
Oh, I thought so too. I was like, please don't kill Bronn.
They spent too much time on him at the start of the episode, like building him up, and I thought, oh, he's going to die in this episode. He's gone.
Yeah, I thought that too.
But, so there is an awesome scene where Bronn, it's pretty, I guess it's right initially, where he's on the horse, and the Dothraki cover, like slice his horse's like leg off.
Yeah, it's pretty much what Bronn said like seasons ago, that horses are stupid.
Yeah, yeah, he did say something like that. And he, I guess he has a moment where his gold falls over the floor and he sees the gold and he goes, nah, and he like runs to him.
Nope.
It's nope. It's not worth it. So yeah, he's running to the ballista, like I can't remember what the weapon.
Yeah, the scorpion.
Oh, it's called the scorpion. Okay, I can't remember what it was called.
They call it a scorpion, which is another name for that.
Right, yeah. So it's it's basically a giant bow or
giant crossbow.
Crossbow, yeah. That's capable of taking down a dragon, as showcased
as we saw in episode 2.
Episode 2, yeah. So he runs to that, gets on it. Dothraki's chasing him though, and he gets him in one of those shots.
Yeah, it's first shot.
First shot of success. Admittedly, wasted the ammunition, but still look cool.
It's still pretty cool. I mean, it was definitely a Bronn way of killing him.
Yeah. And then essentially, it's trying to hit Drogon from there. So he misses with his first shot. Pretty close, though.
Yeah, we got pretty close. He's pretty good with that machinery he's never used before.
Yeah, well, unless he's been doing all these lessons. I mean, that's the thing that's... At this point, you just got to accept it.
We don't know the time. Yeah, the timeline
The timeline's like ridiculously confusing at this point. It's just like, just accept it.
I don't think it's not all happening at once, except now I think it's happening more in line.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you just have to accept that people get there when they get there now.
Yeah, it's just like, they don't want to waste too much time anymore.
Yeah, things are just so quick.
Second shot,
they... It always seems to be this way with these fights. It's like, they always get them when they're like charging towards them.
They always do.
having gained with the first shot missing Drogon / Daenerys' attention, they charge in and quickly Bronn, I guess, prepares it up. Boom.
Yep.
Straight. Not in the heart, like, I guess just the chest.
Somewhere on its chest. But it fell, but it didn't completely fall to the ground.
Yeah. So
no.
He's
wounded.
It's one of those moments where I'm like, no way Drogon just died here, because that means Daenerys just died here, and that's obviously not what happened.
Yeah, because if he fell to the ground, she would have gone with it.
Yeah, so it has this very much, you know, a death falling animation, then it just kind of picks up and lands on the ground.
Yeah. I just want to point out how cool it was finally seeing, like, a dragon actually go against a proper army.
Yeah, and you saw...
flies through burning them to death.
You'd see just, like, how they've been holding the budget back for this kind of point. Where they could just spend so much money on this Drogon fight with heaps of shown... It wasn't just, like, obscured scenes with fire or something.
Yeah, no,
like,
they literally showed them burning.
Yeah, you show a lot of scenes of just people turning to ash. Like, in turn, it was, like, it's a weird perspective, because you're kind of, like, rooting for Danny, but at the same time, you're going, well, it's kind of messed up. Like, all these last minutes are just, like, burning to a crisp. like
bit crispy.
They're quite literally, like...
I was gonna say they can't put it out.
They're literally like ashes. Like, so when Drogon like lands at points, he's just like smashing the ashes everywhere, just like the dust.
Yeah, there's like, I think one of my favorite parts of that whole battle was when you could see Tyrion looking over the fight, and he wasn't like going, "Yeah, we're winning." He was like, "Holy shit!"
Because Daenerys earlier in the episode, earlier in the episode was showing like she was pissed at Tyrion because ultimately they kept losing, and he basically thinks Tyrion. Tyrion is holding back to protect the Lannisters, I don't think it's necessarily true, but maybe somewhere in him he's kind of like, I don't really want to bring on the Wrath of the Dragons because it's kind of messed up.
They kill whatever. I mean, if that went to King's Landing,
yeah, they would just burn everyone down. You can see in Tyrion's face just like the the horror of what he's seeing is just like the, all his people are
just all the Lannisters. Gone. I mean, he might not get along with that family anymore, but they were still supported his family.
Yeah, and then of course his brother's there. So
Jamie's there.
Jamie has a couple of swings of swords and random occasional cuts to him, but his big moment was as Daenerys lands and she tries to pull out the spear. He sees his opportunity to basically kill Daenerys and essentially stop the war, really. To which Tyrion in the distance is pretty much going, "Don't be stupid. This is not going to work out. This is not going to work out. You're going to die." But Jaime...
almost like he did want it to him to die.
He doesn't.
Because, I mean, Jaime's like, he always counted on him.
Yeah. Well, so. he quite literally saved him in the past, season four.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Tyrion would have died without Jaime's help. So, yeah, he doesn't want him to die. But Jaime, obviously, this is the opportunity he has.
It's a good opportunity, to be honest. And he just pull out the spear.
Yeah, so he attempts it with a joust, basically, to kill Daenerys. And he's about to die as Drogon's...
Literally about to die.
So Drogon steps in the view.
He just turns high.
Yeah, yeah, that's essentially it. And then Bronn, out of nowhere, boom, grabs
MVP.
Jaime. Yeah, grabs him and dives into the river.
Although...
It ends with...
It ends.
Because he's got a lot of armor. So Bronn's fine in the sense of he's got no armor, so he's going to easily get to the surface. But Jaime has got heaps of armor on, and he's just slowly sinking to the
bottom. Sinking to the bottom. But we don't exactly 100% confirm he's dead.
I'm pretty much 100% confident he's not dead.
If Jaime's going to die, they're going to show him die. They're not going to just assume...
And I'm pretty confident they're building up to a redemption arc where he's going to kill Cersei or going to renounce Cersei in some way.
Now he's seen the dragon thing.
Yeah, but I think Cersei's going to do something worse. Or maybe Daenerys or Tyrion convinces him of something.
So you think they'll capture him?
Oh, yeah, I think definitely they'll capture him. The question... I actually think Bronn has a slight possibility he'll get killed. I think Jaime's important as a political figure. To capture him.
But Tyrion and Bronn go way back.
I know. But that's the thing. I'm like, I assume he's going to talk about it. But Bronn also did shoot her dragon.
True point. Oh, he's dead. He's so dead.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, Bronn, I think as he did save Jaime's life, and I think Jaime will be used as a obviously a captive, prisoner of war.
Yeah.
As he's such an important figure, Bronn isn't. So I could very much see Bronn being sacrificed in the next episode.
You know what I do see happening, though? Like, a little... They trade. They try, and Theon tries to negotiate. Can we get my sister back? We'll trade Jaime.
I could see him saying that, but there's no way that's going to happen. Like, Yara's no, not...
And I also think... Do you reckon the way she's going to kill Bronn is to burn him to death, if she does?
I'd say so. Yeah. It could be just as bad, and that is like the dragon just like biting him bit by bit or something.
I don't think Jon would ally with someone who burns people alive.
Well, it could be a contention point, but we'll see.
We'll see. That's speculation. It's not what we know.
Yeah, I can't believe that Daenerys is going to let Bronn off for what he did to Drogon.
Unless. He actually did get burnt, and then he just knocked Jaime into the water.
Yeah. Maybe he's already dying. So he went show him that he's already half burnt or something.
Because he did dive in front of a dragon as it's breathing fire. We didn't actually see the whole picture.
Yeah.
So for all we know, he's already caught fire.
Yeah. So you could see him. He's his face is already half melted off or something. So it could have just been last kind of effort. Don't know who's going to get Jaime out though. I mean, it could be Bronn, but it could also be Drogon in a weird way, someone to quickly fix him out.
It
could just be him saving himself. Like, it might just him take off the armor or something so he can swim up.
Yeah, quickly. And then he gets up to the surface and there's spears.
Yeah, something like that.
At him. That's possible. But that's the end scene.
But yeah, definitely.
Had to start with the best bit.
I was going
to
say, definitely one of the top battles we've had in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I love dragons. So seeing a dragon actually just wipe the floor with an army.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It was cool. Now, back in Winterfell.
Happiness Land.
Yeah.
Land of dreams.
Land of dreams. Everyone's getting reunited with everyone.
It's so lovely.
Arya suddenly shows up.
Struggles to get into Winterfell.
I guess they have a little comedic bit with the useless guards. everything you ever see these days, there's always useless guards. I don't think I've seen many movies or TV shows where the guards are actually good at being guards.
Well, we're going to go check with our commander to see if we can let you in. And so these girls are like, nah, she's dead. You can't be her.
Can't be her.
Bugger off.
So she just kind of sneaks into the crypt. Sansa, through her sisterly intuition, determines that Sansa, Arya must be in the crypts.
Where else would she be? Come on, so, we all know that.
So they have a little moment, which is a lot nicer than Sansa and Bran's moment last week, where at least Arya has some emotion, where she does look grateful to actually see her sister.
Bran's
again.
Like, I remember that night you got the wedding. I remember your wedding.
And what a great wonderful night that was.
like, what the hell, Bran?
Bran's just been full on weirdo at the moment. I am the three-eyed raven.
I'm no longer Bran.
They sent you reunite.
Well, it's such a good moment to see them all back, because the funny thing is they haven't been in the same scene together since maybe episode one. At least one or two.
I think episode one's the only time you saw them all together in one shot.
To be all at the same location, character-wise,
yeah.
I think it hasn't been since season one. Like,
yeah. And Jon Snow's...
Episode two? No, yeah.
Jon Snow's currently not there, but he might be by the next episode.
You'll have to come back, I think.
Well, we know ultimately from the trails and stuff that at some point he's got to be up north for the...
He goes up north.
To, I think, Eastwatch by the sea for the... Because they hinted in like episode one, like, well, that's where the White Walkers are going. And we've seen a cool like ring scene where there all these four people in the north are together fighting White Walkers, and Jon's there. So that's got to happen within three episodes.
So he's to get up there. Yeah, they have very limited time to actually do that.
So he'll either be up north next episode or the episode after, I would say.
Probably after, to be honest.
Littlefinger up north is this is what? Littlefinger's got the most confusing plot at the moment, in the sense of I really don't know what he's thinking or trying to do.
I don't know what his plan is, but clearly it didn't worry Bran, because he can see everything. He wasn't worried about Littlefinger.
And I think Littlefinger was worried about Bran, though, because he's giving him Cat's Paw, so the sword that ultimately tried to kill him in the past, as maybe trying to prove his like loyalty to Bran or something. But then Bran...
Is he trying to go around Sansa then?
Yeah, it's weird because Bran's got the old seeing power, and he basically goes, chaos is the ladder, which Littlefinger looks very surprised at, because he realizes Bran somehow knows that. I've only said it to one person, that's probably Varys in that scene in season 3.
Ooh.
So how does Bran know this? And then I think maybe his wheels turn and go, oh, Bran's actually a risk, because Bran knows too much about what I've been plotting.
He would, but he didn't say anything. A lot to do with the future.
Yeah, I think that's a wild card that Littlefinger hadn't expected, and I very much could see that being a problem. Because there's a lot of stuff Littlefinger has almost certainly done the score over Starks, and Bran probably knows about it.
He probably does, but did he say anything? Did he do anything? No. Did he mention it to his sisters? No.
No. But I could see someone pushing him about it. So, like, maybe I asking him, or Sansa bringing it up at some point, and then Bran might just mention, oh, Littlefinger did that.
He did that. No emotion on his face.
Yeah, because it was implied that Joffrey tried to have Bran killed way back
season one.
No, he didn't know that in season one, but in season one, ultimately he tried to get him killed in season one. But possibly it was actually Littlefinger, or at least he initiated it in some way. He hired the assassin, maybe.
He did something.
Yeah.
We all know that.
I could see that being a plot point where that... Littlefinger's demise is that he didn't expect someone who could quite literally see the... Because actually, when I think about it, in last week's episode, he mentioned to Sansa how to be good at the game, you have to think of every possible outcome. Like, you have to predict everything someone could do, that way nothing surprises you. And then lo and behold, Bran shows up and he has the ability to do quite literally that. See everything, future and past.
That's useful. Sometimes alter it.
So I can see that screwing him up. But ultimately, Cat's Paw, Bran has it, and then he gives it to Arya. The capable assassin. So now she has a Valyrian steel dagger, which at this point in the game is essentially the best weapon you could possibly have.
It's pretty good. I mean, a good sword, Valyrian steel sword's pretty good too, but...
Yeah, but, well, I mean, it suits Aya better as the assassin.
That's,
you know,
definitely
dagger.
True, yeah.
But I'm not sure what use it'll have in the sense of... They're showing it at the point of it's important that she has it, so I'm not sure if that means she's going to kill a White Walker or take on whites or something of that nature, or she just now has a really cool dagger to kill someone.
Bran gave it to her for a reason. The guy who can see everything. There's a reason she has it.
Mm.
The reason he wasn't surprised when Littlefinger gave him it is because he knew it was going
to
happen.
Yeah, true. I see what you mean. So he's given it to Arya because he knows that she's going to use it for something greater.
She's going to do something with it that is very important to win the war.
And I think it's the same thing with the old three-eyed raven, where he knew he was going to die what was the tree place called?
Yeah, it wasn't the Hollow or something.
I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. Point is,
yeah, the point was
tree place.
He knew Hodor's final. He knew Hodor was going to die there. He knew he was going to mess up Hodor's brain. He knew all that stuff was going to happen, and he just had to let it happen because that's just how what did happen. So I think Bran's
what happened,
I think Bran's in a similar situation where he knows everything that's going to happen, or he's working it out as he goes along. So he's just setting up the pieces for that to occur.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that's one of the pieces.
Yeah, I'd say so too.
Yeah.
Additionally, there's another scene where Bran shows no emotion, where Mira basically. Pulling hard, going, you know, I have to leave Bran to go back to my family before this war happens. I have to be with them when it kind of all ends or whatever happens. And Bran's like, oh, okay, see ya.
Thanks. That was cool. Come back again. Let's do that again.
Yeah. Obviously, Mira's very upset. Is essentially her brother died. She almost died. Like, there was a lot of stuff that happened to get Bran to that point. So a little more emotion may have been used there, but I think
might have helped.
I think they're just trying to show how lost Bran is, in the sense of he's got a greater purpose now and he's lost all empathy for, I guess, regular
anyone, situation. Anything.
Yeah.
Hmm. Pretty much.
Yep. And also another character reunites with someone, and that is Aya and Brienne.
She hasn't seen him since she kicked the Hound's ass.
Yeah. So, yep, back then. So Aya essentially wants to show, I guess, her skills now, how much better she is.
A good fighter.
Yeah, so they have a little sparring match thing, which it is cool to see Aya in a full fight that isn't just like a stab, 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 dead type scene.
stab, 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 dead, yeah, that was a...
It's like an
actual fencing.
Yeah. And you can see just, the distinct style. Like, she's got the Bravosi style. It's very much like her dance master from season one.
Very much so, yeah.
But then you can also see, her new faceless men skills. The assassin type abilities. That being said, I think if Brienne was trying, I think Brienne would still probably annihilate Aya. Because she'd just have to do a bit of force and probably just, go straight through her sword.
Yeah, strength.
Yeah, I think she would go straight through and just, cut her in half if she wanted to in that fight.
She's strong enough to do so.
Yeah, but Aya is definitely very nimble and quick. Very reminiscent of almost the Oberon versus Mountain type fight.
That's exactly what it seemed like.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of the eye gouging explosion head.
But yeah, just in general, just a cool fight they kind of chuck in there, but I don't think it had any purpose other than illustrating that Aya is... quite good at fighting.
I can fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they need to demonstrate it before she's just thrown into a battle.
Yep. And other than that, they were kind of the main points or main things that happened.
Jon reunites with Theon.
Oh, yeah. There was a short...
And what happens on Dragonstone?
Yeah, very short scene where Theon basically pulls up on a boat. Jon says, basically, you saved my sister, otherwise you'd be dead right now.
I'd say another important, that's pretty much it, but another important scene was when Jon shows Daenerys that little cave.
Yeah, which I guess it was just showing, the potential romance they might have. There was a lot of,
Look, the children of the forest allied.
Yeah. I don't think there was any bigger plot. Like, I mean, they did say that, yeah, ultimately the Children of the Forest and the First Men allied to take on the White Walkers, which is like, oh, we should ally too, I guess.
Yeah, we could do that. That's cool. It's like, I was watching with my brother and it was like, well, maybe that John just drew all this, like, while she wasn't looking at it.
Quickly,
look, they're here, they allied. We can ally too now, yes?
There's a picture of, like, a wolf and a dragon, like, holding hands.
With a love heart. Oh, wow, they knew.
Oh, yeah, Jon Snow's definitely got a thing for caves and women.
He really does, doesn't he? Which is cool, you know.
He's got his thing.
That's his thing. Caves.
But, yeah, they were essentially the main things. Now...
Yeah, that is pretty much it. So in a nutshell.
Yeah, so I'd say overall the episode was probably on the better side. Like, it felt like one of, like, the episode 9 equivalent type episodes. But...
Yeah, but a bit less than that.
Less than that. It was less... Normally those episode 9 ones are, like, battle from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like, I'm expecting the equivalent for this season to be the episode 6 one. Because the same structure. Last episode before the end, some big shit happens. So when they go into the conclusion to the season, they can have the kind of the aftermath and set up for what the next season is.
Yeah, they can have one last big scene and then do the aftermath of everything that just happened.
Yeah, so this episode had its big battle dragon moment, which it probably is the main one. Like, I don't know if there'll be another big dragon scene this season.
There should be. There will be, I can assume so. It makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a big battle one, though. I think if it's anything, it might
No, I think it'll be her 3 dragons. She's not going to just come back with one.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be a White Walker type thing next. I'd be surprised if there's another war on infantry versus dragons scene this season.
I was really hoping they'd wrap up the Game of Thrones, but now they might not be.
I don't know. The question is, what is Cersei going to do next episode? From what's just happened.
That's true. It's always like... Because what happened previous episode was the defeat at Castle Rock and Highgarden, and this one was Daenerys wiping out part of the army and probably finish off a whole bunch more of the Lannister forces that we don't get to see.
Well, next week's episode is called Blood of the Dragon. So from that, we can even say it's connected to the fact that Drogon's bleeding this episode. The end of this episode, you know, he's hurt.
Blood of the... Yeah, or... Does Blood of the Dragon, that could be like Targaryen ancestry, which could link to Jon.
Yeah, my gut feeling is that. I think Jon will find out his origin in next episode. Because I think Jon's going to end up at Winterfell and Bran's going to tell him.
Jon.
Which
go back to dragons.
Which is funny because in my head I'm already thinking, oh, and then they're going to cut the Littlefinger's face and he's going to have a reaction to something. At the moment, every episode, there's Littlefinger's reaction to something that happens.
His little sly little looks.
Yeah, I'm
I was pretty impressed by Arya.
I really hope that... Because I very much strongly believe Littlefinger's dead this season. But I hope that he does have some really big plan that pays off in some way, but then he gets caught in some kind of trap or some... He gets ahead of himself.
That's a trap.
And piss him up. But I hope he just doesn't someone just goes, we saw you set up the assassin of Bran or something like that, so now you're dead. And Livia just gets killed and that's it. I hope there's a...
That's it. No, they won't do that.
I hope it's one of the big dramatic deaths, like if not the most dramatic death of this season.
Yeah, he's a really good character.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how he falls, which will probably be him overthinking it and thinking he's got it all covered when he doesn't. But yeah, that's... about it.
Yep, that's it. So with that, we have been Optional Extra, and you can find us at optional-extra.com, where we do this, talk about Game of Thrones, as well as other gaming, geeky, nerdy content, with our other podcasts, and occasional, very occasional reviews.
What's that a nod to?
And with that, I'd like to say thanks for listening, and remember, for the night is dark and full of terrors.